Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah, but you know what I'm picturing?
What?
I'm picturing Goldie Hawn on Laugh-In' during that dance segment when they would do the jokes.
Yeah, luckily that's not an old reference. Seven people are still alive who remember that. and you're doing it. You know, again, I'm the guy with the old references, but so far it's all you.
I know. It's terrible. You know, because everybody, we keep talking about this, right? All right, we got to freshen up the references, and then it all goes right out the window.
Exactly. I'm talking about Laurel and Hardy.
Goldie Hawn. But, you know, she used to do that go-go thing, and they would stop and do a joke and then go back to the dance. And this is this music, maybe it reminds me of that, but it was kind of this kind of music, right?
Yeah. I think this is a little hipper.
Yeah.
You know, I like this music, and also what it tells me, because, you know, I'm very savvy, you know, with radio and podcasts and all of that.
Yes.
I know when that music comes on, it's time for us to do the show.
Yes, it is. And here we go, episode number 3. I'm Tony.
I'm Gary.
Yes, and it is the Tony Perkins Show, and featuring Gary Stein. And we are once again joined this week in the engineer's chair, producer's chair.
I'll take producer's chair. /engineer. I'll take that.
Yes, on loan to us for a limited time only.
right.
You know, as we're getting the show launched, Oscar Santana from the Mike O'Mara Show.
Salutations.
Yes, and from what's your other show? The Tech Show. The
Tech 411.
Tech 411.
If I can enunciate that.
All right. Uh-huh. All right,
Tech
very good.
411.
How's that show going?
It's okay.
Okay. Oh, wait, that's a great way to promote your own show. Why don't you ask me how the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein is going?
How's the turkey?
How's the turkey?
Freudian slip.
He has insulted us on every episode of this show.
Guess what? We're not really in charge of this, but this is his last show with us. I'm going to walk. If we get Oscar one more time, I'm walking.
I don't know where that came from.
Well, I know where it came from.
It came from your mouth. That's where it came from.
That is the definition of Freudian slip. Okay. How's the turkey?
Welcome to the Turkey Show. It's our third episode. And it's obviously, Tony, we didn't know it's our last.
You know what? After each show, Oscar said, that was great.
Yeah.
That was killer.
Yeah, great.
I loved it. Now we know what you really think.
He goes home and he says, boy, I'm glad that's over. What a turkey.
Gentlemen, look what I found. Weird.
The Tony featuring Gary Stein.
You're not getting out of this.
You know what? It doesn't help.
Wow.
Well, what about this guy?
It's Tony and Gary.
Stop pressing.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Stop pressing those buttons.
I'll tell you something. No matter how many times you play that, our wonderful announcer never says, and here comes the turkey show. Not once.
How's the turkey?
I'm so...
Let me try. No.
I am
That's so injured. That's enough.
I'll be over here.
How about Rob Ford? Rob Ford Jr. is our wonderful intern. How are you, Rob?
I'm doing great. And on that turkey note, bowling 3 strikes is also a turkey. So maybe there's something going on there.
You know what? Don't try to save him. You know what?
Thanks, Rob.
You're gone, too. Because
we're a package deal.
I do like that. I like that, though. That's a positive spin.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a positive spin if you want to keep your job.
Yeah, and it's a reach, too.
It's a reach. It is.
Rob, we're happy you're here.
And we're grateful you're on the Turkey Show.
Excellent.
The Turkey Show.
The new title. There's going to be a picture of 2 turkey heads, and that's going to be it.
That is funny. We are very delighted because we have a special guest who's going to be joining us on the show today.
Yes, we do.
Not quite yet. Do we want to tell them outright or give them a clue?
I don't think you should say it's Dirk Benedict.
Man,
what did I do?
I was leading up to.
What did I do?
Let's give them a clue.
Oh, okay. Let's give them a clue.
Oh, yeah. Turn this up. Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's the A-Team theme song.
Yeah.
But in a strange way. It doesn't really have anything to do with Dirk being on the A-team.
Oh, no?
No.
Why not?
Because the thing that we're going to deal with has to do with a different...
His other show.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
Now, that is the theme to the A-team. That was going to be the clue I was going to give for
I'm
people.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Dirk Benedict is joining us on the show, and you may think, really? That's... Where did that come from? This came up very naturally, on our first show, when we presented the list on, what was it?
The top 25 action stars of all time.
On television.
Television.
Top 25 action characters from TV shows of all time. And number 12... was
Starbuck.
I was going to say Skyface, but that's a combination. He was Face on the A-Team.
Exactly. His name on the A-Team was Templeton Peck, Face Man.
Wow.
And on Battlestar, he was Starbuck.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. How now, what's the connection here? How do you know each
other? Gary's been friends with him forever.
We actually toured in a summer stock show together many, many years ago. Dirk and I have been incredibly close friends for 30 years. He may dismiss it, but I've known him forever. And when this list came out, I said, wow, my buddy's on this list. Mm-hmm. This is great.
So you knew him throughout his entire career?
No, because, you know, he's 90. No, he's not. No, no, no.
You say that now before we get him on the phone.
No, I'm not afraid of him. No, I actually met Dirk while he was doing Battlestar. And the A-Team followed that.
But it's also, you knew him during his height of fame.
Oh, yeah.
That is wild.
No, we couldn't go anywhere without autographs and, you know.
So what was that like? You're both actors, and you were friends. You would go out. Everyone would recognize him. No one would recognize you. What was that like?
You are so evil. You really are.
Isn't that the truth?
What was it like? It put me in therapy. Do you know what happened? I had a nervous breakdown. Okay? Are you satisfied?
That's an honest question, though. I have some very famous athlete friends, mm-hmm. and I know, you know, just kind of walking in that and living in that rarefied air.
Mm-hmm.
Sports fame is one thing, but television fame is quite another.
I think the only thing that helped when we were touring in plays, doing this play, is that I was the stage manager, and I was the advance man on the summer stock circuit that went ahead of the show to set up the next theater we went to as we did the tour. Because I switched back and forth between acting and stage managing for a number of years until I was acting only and then ultimately gave that up and started producing.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't really that hard to hang out with Dirk and to really enjoy watching people salivate and fall all over themselves.
Now, and also remember, and we'll put his picture up on the website. I mean, Dirk's a good-looking man, and he was like, I mean, he was model handsome.
What are you saying?
A dreamboat. Well,
he was a dreamboat. Yeah.
Dirk was a
dreamboat. Oscar. Okay. That's Oscar Santana.
That's very old-timey Oscar.
Old-timey Oscar.
Is it?
No one says dream.
No one
says. Oh, he's dreamy.
I thought we were bringing it back.
I think Dirk should be hearing this. You know,
Let's go. Okay. Let's go ahead and call him. We're doing it early in the show.
The reason why I think we should call him is because we've said such nice things and he hasn't heard any
of
them.
That is true. This is pretty cool. I'm pretty excited.
It is.
I've never met him.
I never have either.
Hello.
Hey,
Dirk.
Is the magic gone?
You know, we were killing until the phone call. And then that's...
You were?
Yeah.
Were you? So was I.
Yeah. Hi, Dirk. How are you?
All alone in my... Hi.
Are you alone at home right now?
I'm always alone at home.
Can you describe...
I'm home alone.
Can you describe what you're doing, or would that not be fair?
I'm sitting in my office looking out across Flathead Lake. It's about 10 miles across, and I got aspen... Weeping birch, I was going to say. I use weeping a lot. I don't know why. I've got aspen out in front of my house, and I'm sitting in my little office down in the bottom corner of my home and waiting for the phone to ring, which I haven't done in 30 years.
Well, listen, I want you to know that I was saying incredibly nice things about you, so you better be good. I said we met touring in a play, which was true, and it was many years ago, but I didn't say the year, but it was during your time with...
That's because you can't remember.
You know, this could turn in a second, and I could get very ugly. You know that. But Dirk and I have been friends for 30 years. You want to quantify that? You want to... want to agree with me?
It's longer than that, actually. It was 1979.
It was 79. It was. Wow. You're right.
35 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Dirk, let me ask you, and we really were singing your praises, and I every time Gary talks to you, I know he gives you a hard time. Clearly, he loves you. He thinks the world of you, and thanks for doing the show today. But I do want to ask you, I'm going to ask you the question I asked Gary, because he said, you know, he knew you at the height of your fame, really, with the TV shows going on, Battlestar Galactica,
and the A-Team,
right? And that he would walk around with you, and people would throw themselves at you. You know, you're good looking, you're a star on TV, they would recognize you.
Not that good looking.
And no one would know who he was. And he said he handled that okay. Is that true? How did he handle that?
How did Gary handle that?
Yeah.
Gary was he was profoundly jealous. I mean, that's what drove him into being a producer in television, because at one time he thought he might be an actor, but once he was around me, he thought, I can't compete.
Yeah. It's true, because in many ways...
I've got to go into a different line of work.
Yeah.
No, you were the best-looking stage manager I ever worked with, Derek.
Thank you.
And the straightest.
Yeah. I think I was the only straight one, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That didn't make you very straight. You could still be bent. But.
I want to say something really nice about you, and it's the only nice thing I'm going to say, because we've been talking about you, and obviously Battlestar and A-Team, there weren't any shows that were bigger than the A-Team, and I know that that caused NBC some concerns, but you did something I don't know that anybody in the world would do, not at the level of stardom you had. At that time, you wanted to bring up your children where you grew up in Montana, and you left, and you went out there, and I don't know anybody who would have done that. And I know that definitely affects a career, but you've been writing and directing and doing all of that since. I don't know anybody who would, no actor is that giving and that willing to make sacrifices. So
that's the last
good thing I'm ever going to say about you.
That's the nicest thing any human being can say about me. It's the only good thing about me, actually. It's the best. It's the core value of my life. It's the only thing I've done that I have any pride in. I've done a lot of things, but this I take pride in, because this was something that's not done very often, and I know why. But I didn't. You learn about yourselves. I learned that I was, I did quite well without the phone ringing and without Hollywood. But your psyche has to be very strong.
Yeah, and you only get that one shot. I mean, it's your kids, and there are no do-overs with kids. So that is, I think that's a very admirable thing, and that's good for you.
True.
Good for you.
Hey, Dirk.
Thank you. Well, I used to say, someday I'm going to be on my deathbed, and I don't think I'll be saying, oh, God, I thought I'd just done one more TV series. But I might say, gee, I wish I'd spent more time with my kids.
That's right.
Well,
that's
I won't have to do that,
So,
I will be saying, God, if I could have had one more hit for NBC. Damn that Ted Danson.
Now, Gary alluded to this thing. Gary alluded to this thing with the A-Team, which was a huge hit, and that the network, kind of felt funny about it because, now let me say this, because my recollection, and Dirk, correct me if I'm wrong, my recollection is that the A-Team was the first show to get a huge push after a Super Bowl. That was the first time I remember a network saying, okay, we want all these millions of people who are watching the Super Bowl to sample this show, and they put on an episode of the A-Team right after the Super Bowl. Is that right?
I'm not sure it's the first. I know it's the first one that got notoriety, and part of that is because the ad was Mr. T throwing a T, say, if you don't watch the show, I'm going to come and grab your TV and throw it out the window.
Right, yes, that's right.
Which was really smart, was really clever, and they smartly left me and George and Dwight out of it, because we would have just, sapped the energy out of the commercial. But no, so that was that, and they showed it during the Super Bowl, and then we went on, I guess, right after. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess, but the rest was history. We went through the roof. Yeah, it was very clever. And it was a show that I go all over the world. I tell Gary this. This show is really popular, from Taiwan to Germany to Amsterdam to Japan to Romania. And because it has universal themes, and it travels well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it doesn't, you don't even, you know, it has visuals, it has action, and, you know, it's got the strong guy, the cute guy, the smart guy, the crazy guy, and it's all.
Which one are you?
A cartoon.
Well, he's the dreamboat.
He's the dreamboat.
Yeah.
I'm the dreamboat.
Oscar, he's our producer, engineer, and he refers to you earlier as a dreamboat, and he insists that he doesn't use old references. When did you ever describe anybody dreamy lately?
Yeah, I haven't heard dreamboat since my mother tucked me in bed.
Dirk, just one quick question, please, and then you can indulge me, and then I'll leave it to the guys.
He's a big fan.
There's got to be, and please tell me you do have maybe a storage locker somewhere, or you might have it at your home now. Did you keep anything off the set? Is there something special to you off the Battlestar Galactica set, or anything from the A-Team set that you kept for yourself that maybe nobody knows about, or that it's just something special to you?
I just have my black book. My black book from both shows, which phone numbers of a lot of women who are some of them still famous.
Yeah.
Other than that, Battlestar Galactica got canceled, surprised everybody. So, you know, I thought I was going back to work, so I left. So I never had anything. And then, you know, the funny thing is, after that show was canceled, I couldn't get back on the damn lot.
Really? They just locked everybody out?
Yeah, I had my own table in the commissary. You know, I used to be waved through. I had my own party. I had a bungalow. I had everything. And we got canceled. And I went back a month later to go back to my bungalow, get my personal effects. Forget getting mementos.
Right.
And I said, I'm sorry, do you have a pass? I said, Scotty, it's me. Come on. I used to be the star of Battlestar Galactica. Well, you're not anymore, so you got to get a pass.
Wow.
The A-Team, I have stuff. I have stuff from the A-Team. Yeah, there wasn't much to save, you know. We just basically had guns and bullets and you know.
Did you get any of Mr. T's gold necklaces?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Weren't you?
I got some of his charisma, though. Which stole some of that. Yeah. I watched him closely. I used to rub up against him. Oh man, what you doing, Bill? Oh, damn! Stop that! I used to stay as close to him as possible. He's still the most. He's one of the most interesting people I was ever around.
Yeah.
He was very, very, very complex. You know, like a few people, I had a very complex personality. So on the surface, he was like he could be like an 18-year-old kid, but he was actually, and he's very, very spiritual. There's a very spiritual side.
Uh-huh.
There's also a very physical side. It's also, his core personality is really funny, silly. So on the set, he and I and Dwight sat around and just joked, just giggled.
Uh-huh.
We giggled for 4 years. You know?
When you think about...
And George sat in his room going, why are they giggling? Are they giggling about me? Why are they giggling?
Well, you always told me that George was very separate and you were like the bad boys, and he didn't associate that much with you guys because he didn't quite get you, right?
He didn't. We made him nervous. You know, he didn't like repartee.
He didn't like repartee, yeah.
He liked quiche. But not repartee. those are the only two French words I know. I got to use.
Yeah, I know. And I told you that one.
Hey, Dirk.
Yeah.
Are you?
No, but George, you know, it's kind of, I don't know if you remember the show, but we were sort of like that in Make Believe. The three of us were kind of barely controlling, and Hannibal would sort of be the boss and tell us what to do and where to go and kind of keep. And it was like that off the set because we. You know, he used to rein us in. We would do stuff, and he'd say, "No, it's too silly. You can't do that." You know, in our especially Dwight and I, he'd go, "No, man."
So he was the enforcer.
He was very smart about the show. George was. Yeah, he's very smart about what we were and why people liked us, and he fought to maintain it.
Hey, Dirk, I want to ask you a question because if the answer to this question is what I think it is, you may be very unique. Weren't you with both shows? Weren't there action figures put out?
You know, that's Tony, that's really, I claim that fame. I said, you know, I'm the only guy with two, I'm one of the
that's
few guys.
That's what I was going to say.
I sent you
I'm
one.
Not, I mean, I guess Harrison Ford has them, but Harrison Ford's a major movie star.
Right.
You know, I'm a guy in a log cabin on the Lake of Flathead that hasn't worked in 20 years. Harrison Ford is huge. And there's a couple of, but I have two.
Yeah, you're one of the few.
And they keep remaking them, you know, that Battlestar. I've got about four renditions of Starbuck dolls, you know. And I sleep with all of them. Well, I rotate them in and out.
Hey, Dirk.
I rotate them. I have Monday and Tuesday and then Wednesday and Thursday.
You rotate them.
I sleep with myself.
Yeah, but are you satisfied? Hey, Dirk, do you remember I sent you a Mr. T chia pet?
I do.
Yeah, I sent you that, and I did send you. I found Starbuck in an unopened box, and I sent that out to you.
Mm.
Yeah, because you know
those are quite valuable. You know, especially if I sleep with them, and they're really valuable. if I sign them. But hey, I'm running upstairs to my kid's bedroom, one of my kids' bedroom, because I got. You were asking about mementos, so here's one of the mementos from the 18. Okay. Listen to this.
First name, Mr. Middle name, period. Last name, T.
Oh, that's awesome. Love that. It's a pocket Mr. T. Here's another one.
I pity the fool. Don't give me no back talk, sucker.
I love that you have this right within reach.
I know. I carry. I know. When somebody gets tough with me in the local bar, I just go.
Give me no back talk, sucker.
Dirk, you got to give me 1 second. I just remembered this. Gary, we featured a pocket Mr. T on when I was at Good Morning America, and you were my producer, and we did stupid.com. We had pocket Mr. T.
There was a website.
You're kidding. Oh, you had this.
Yeah, we had it. We had it, and we played it a lot for Charlie Gibson and Diane Sawyer.
Oh, my goodness.
So when was that? That was not that long ago.
That was around 2000, 2001, something around there, yeah. It was either really stupid toys or toys that came out that didn't sell. And we used to do a segment every couple of months called stupid.com. Mm-hmm. And we featured the Chia Pet, which I then sent to you and stole from ABC.
I didn't know about that one. God, that's crazy.
But I want you to know that I went out and I bought the Starbuck thing. And it is a gift, but I'd like you to pay me for it.
So, Dirk, let me ask you this.
Of course, I wouldn't.
Do you there are these sci-fi shows and conventions, pop culture conventions and all that kind of stuff. Do you do those shows, or you've really stepped away from all of that?
No, I do those. I do them. I used to do about one a year, 2 a year. Now I do them as often as I can because I found out they're really good for my ego. They made me feel loved. No, I do them. I'm going to the island of Malta here this fall, and I'm going over to England for 2 weeks here,
nice.
A couple of weeks, and so I'm doing one in Antwerp. I'm doing one in Paris. Well, Disneyland, whatever that's called near Paris. I'm doing
a show there. Euro Disney.
World, like I said, the A-Team and Battlestar, they're travel well. They're well known around the world.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. That's great.
So I do a bit of that, yeah. But other than that, I was so busy raising my kids, I forgot how to do anything else. I'm like an overtrained. I'm a housekeeper and a cook.
Do you have any aspirations to jump back into the game?
Yeah, I would, but it would take too much. Take too much time to go back and start. You know, to L.A. and start doing it all again.
Yeah.
Have to go back and live there and get an agent and Dirk. Remind them of who I was. Or maybe I always thought I should just change my name and go back as a, just to start fresh. Because I'm a pretty good actor and just go in and start auditioning.
I don't think anybody needs reminding. As when the guy told me you're going to be on, I freaked out personally.
Yes, he did.
Wanted to ask you about your take on the latest iteration of the A-Team, the movie. Did you even watch it? Did you, when you saw that it was coming out? Clearly, it didn't have the magic that the TV show did. Did fairly well at the box office. But you had to have, your own response, natural response when you heard about that movie coming out.
Well, I did. I mean, I've been reimagined twice now. I'm kind of, that's another thing. You know, Battlestar was redone as a TV series. And then, and they changed my character. This is a whole show. This is a whole couple of chapters in a book if I ever wrote another one when they castrated
Starbucks, and they made him a woman.
I call it
Star Dough. They turned Starbucks into Star Dough. Which didn't
Star
make me pop. Yeah, Star Dough.
That's great.
What can you, I mean, that's like taking Han Solo or the guy, or, and you know, Shane, and turning it into a woman. No. You know, Hannah Solo. So they took Starbucks and I always said Hollywood finally did to me on TV what they couldn't do in real life.
I love that. Could be the name of the book. They castrated Starbucks.
So, but the A-Team, they wanted me to come into a cameo, which I finally did because they paid me a ton of money, but they would never let me see a script. So I never, that was top secret, you couldn't see the script, you don't know what we're going to do, you just show up. And I kept saying no, and I finally, you know, I thought, what the heck, I can use this money. So I went and did it, but I haven't seen the movie. My two sons went to the premiere down there in Hollywood in place of me, and, you know, I know, I hear from the fans, you know, I saw Liam Neeson do an interview, and he said, we took all the corniness out of it.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that.
That's you guys know that. Yeah. I know that. I meet fans around. They know that it was supposed to be. That was the charm of it. It was a slightly corny and silly and goofy.
Right. There are plenty of people doing action movies, you know, with the real action stars and the explosions and all that kind of stuff. That's not what the A-Team, it was that, but it had a sense of humor to it, too.
It did. We were kind of winking at the audience, and we were a bit over the top. You know, I was kind of a fake ladies' man, and Mr. T was got over the top tough guy.
Right.
Dwight was an over the top crazy. It was all just cartoonish. You know, it was slightly, and we were aware of that. And George is the one to pull us back. Said, "No, we didn't want to lose. You know, we hung on to some, but." So they missed it. They didn't get that. The truth is about the A-Team is that nobody understood why this show was a success. NBC never thought it would be and didn't really like the show because we were a Vietnam and we were violent and we were considered violent. The NEA had a write-in campaign across America to get us off the air, if you can believe it.
Wow.
You know, but
that's amazing.
Because we were too violent. And so they didn't, but the guy that wrote it used to complain, Stephen Cannell, that we were doing accents when it wasn't written that we would. I'll never forget, I know once I did an Irish priest as an undergraduate. So he says, he called me on the set. I thought I was going to get fired, but he was upset. But you don't need to go, you don't need to be pretend to be somebody else. Nobody who knows who the hell you are anyway.
That's a good point, Stephen.
I'm going, I'm in there pretending to be an Irish, you know.
That's great.
Hey, Dirk. Dirk, yeah. You're gonna when this is over here, you're gonna owe me a big thank you because I'm not gonna bring up when we were touring in a show and I had to go back to a certain house the next day to climb in a window to get a wallet of yours.
Oh my God! Did you know you didn't go do that?
Yeah. Yes, I did. Yeah. What do you think?
Is
you
that how,
you
no,
think you
I
went
thought...
back? You think you went back?
I did go back. I looked through the basement window and saw it sitting by the bed on the bedstand.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
I think we could fill in the
gap.
But
I couldn't get in. It was locked. Did you go back and get it?
Yes.
Remember, I was freaked out. I was on the airplane. We're going to Cape Cod. And I go, oh, my God.
Yes. Yes, exactly. But see, this is the
apartment.
This is the trail you blazed and this is the trail you left behind. And you left quite a trail behind.
I've forgotten about that. Hey, if I write my memoirs, Gary, will you come live with me?
You know that I don't forget anything.
Here's the thing, Dirk.
No, you don't.
If Gary comes and lives with you,
Jesus.
He gets his own Starbucks doll.
Yeah, to sleep with. Yeah,
Hey, man, this has been great talking to you. It really has been. I so appreciate you taking the time to spend some time with us. Congratulations on stepping away from it, raising your family, being a good man, and for having a sense of humor about everything that went on in Hollywood and all that. You're a great guy.
Well,
we appreciate it.
Let's not talk for a year, Dirk, okay?
Yeah, because then we'll have something to talk about. Otherwise, yeah. By the way, Gary, you haven't given me your new address. I was going to stop by last time I was in New York.
Isn't it funny that happened?
I know that was an accident, a slip up, but could you please get that to me? Because I need a place to stay.
As soon as we're off the air, I'll be getting that right to you.
But tell the guys, last time I went there, after command, went there to stay with you, and then you finally did ask me, so how long did you plan on staying? Because you thought I was coming for like overnight. I thought I was coming for a week.
Yeah, imagine my surprise.
How long are you every sleep? Morning. So, Dirk, how long, you know, because we do have somebody that's...
Yeah, I kept trying to turn my dog into an attack dog. she wasn't going there. And, of course, you so easily pick up hints. Listen, I love you. I'll talk to
I
you
love
soon.
You, Dirk.
All right.
Tony,
thank you,
all
man.
The best. Good
you
fortune
too.
With the podcast.
Well, thank you very much. And when you're in town, right. Come back and be on the show again.
All right. All God right. bless.
Thank
and
you.
Goodbye, Mr. Engineer. Yeah.
Ciao, ciao.
I love you. Okay. All right.
I'm not sure he likes that.
No, not on the air. Don't say that on the air.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic. Oh, that is fantastic.
I told you I was friends with Dirk Benedict.
Oh, my God. He is great.
He's great.
He's great. He's very funny.
And you know what? You know what? Now, this is the truth, right? Hollywood doesn't remember that this guy, he's very special. He's a really good actor. He's incredibly funny. He wanted to do a talk show because he's very improvisational.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still, you know, the kids are raised now.
Mm-hmm.
They're grown. You know, they're both in Hollywood, actually, now. His son, George, wants to be an actor. Roland is a professional soccer player.
Wow.
I think that Dirk could re-enter. I do, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, but here's the thing. Here's what's interesting. He clearly wants to, but you can also hear in his voice,
he's reluctant.
I don't want to go back to L.A. and do the schlep and all that kind of thing. I mean, I think his values, I get where his values are, and I appreciate that.
Me too.
You know, that's a hard way to make a living, and you have to give it 110%, and, you know, Hollywood will chew you up and spit you out, and he made a pretty bold choice, and I respect that.
He's used that line before with me where he said, nobody on their deathbed ever said, if I only had one more series.
Right, that's right.
You know?
Absolutely
but
right.
But people do say, I wish I spent more time with my family.
Now, I know everyone remembers him. We will have his pictures on the website. You can go take a look at that.
Guaranteed.
And is he still, I mean, he was a good-looking guy, like we said. Is he still good-looking?
Dirk is a rugged, outdoorsy guy who grew up in Montana. He's incredibly virile, good-looking, mm-hmm. stays in shape. He's a serious macro guy.
Mm-hmm.
And now, talk about old-timey. I want to tell you who introduced him to a macrobiotic diet.
Okay.
Gloria Swanson.
Oh, my goodness. You're kidding.
He was a replacement in Butterflies Are Free on Broadway. And Gloria Swanson came in to do a guest couple of weeks on the show as the mother.
Wow.
They bonded, and he was in touch with Gloria Swanson until she died. He credits her with changing his life.
Really?
Dirk has amazing stories.
For those who don't know, because, you know, she's old school Hollywood.
That's right.
A big time actress, stage and screen.
Well, here's the biggest thing. First of all, she was a gigantic silent screen star.
Yeah.
But then a kind of comeback role for her was that she was the star of the movie Sunset Boulevard.
That's right.
And she really played a caricature of herself.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And she was incredibly bold to do that. I know she might have won an Academy Award for that, or the movie did. I can't remember.
I
have to check it out. But Dirk wrote two books. I've read both of his books. He's a very good writer, and he's got a lot more books in him.
Mm-hmm.
He really does.
He should do that. You know what he could also do? I should have said this while he was on the phone. You know, he doesn't have to go back to L.A. He could have his own YouTube channel and do all kinds of crazy stuff, and people would find that.
He could do it from where he's at, his own home.
He can. Yeah. He is appropriately nuts.
Yeah.
He is brilliant and insane, and it's always been like that, so he's a treasured friend.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure. You're going to anyway.
Were you were you single when you met Dirk, or you were just getting to know your wife, dating your wife?
No, I was single when I met Dirk.
Single.
Yeah.
Can I just say one
yes.
thing, and you can
Please.
Continue with your line of questioning, but in that second, one bead of sweat began to develop on Gary's forehead. One sole bead.
And I just didn't think you were that observant.
There must.
Well, I didn't know where you were going to go. So that's
well,
just
no,
like,
I think at the any. Any man would actually.
I woke up one morning smoking, and I and I don't smoke. So.
What the women that were around at that time?
Yeah.
And you're at the tail end of the sexual revolution. This is before the AIDS scare in the 80s. Mm-hmm. It must have been kind of a different time, different life. The Studio 54 days, he has that fame that's involved in him. Was it really?
Well, we couldn't go anywhere without, we would have to be careful about where we went to eat.
Wow.
Because people would just
mob
him. And this was before the A-Team.
Thank you, Rob Ford.
What did he do?
No, he reacted to me. Well, you guys didn't. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, he made a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, go ahead. Wait,
if you, Tony, if you tell the joke again, I'll write it down. Because maybe I can use it sometime when I want to be funny.
So it was an adventure is what it was.
You know what? Everything with Dirk is an adventure. So yes, there were big adventures in 78, 79. But we're talking about 2 years ago when he stayed at my house.
Yes.
And he stayed for 10 days. And I really thought he was, and even he jokes about it, but it still didn't stop him from doing it. That's because that's Dirk.
So you thought it was like a one night, two nights?
I actually did have another friend coming to stay over. And I had to go, you know, Dirk was outside smoking a cigar, sipping some scotch. And I had to say, listen, you know, I was just wondering, what day are you leaving? He said, for what?
And that's, said, oh boy, that's
said,
scary.
Well, I have another guest coming, and he was, he said, wow, okay, you're throwing me out. I said, I didn't know I was taking you in. he's great.
What a great relationship, though.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
And you can see, and Tony, you know this, you probably have known this for years, but I think within anyone within earshot of this conversation, the love that he has for you is so genuine.
I hate him. I always hated him, and here's my opportunity to say it.
Not true.
No, you know what? I have to say, I develop very intense relationships with people. I don't have a lot of peripheral friends. You know, I make no bones about saying that Tony is my best friend.
Yeah.
He's been my best friend for a very long time. But the people in my life are kind of like Dirk. You know, they're like, I really know them. They really know me. I'm not really into, like, you know, just kind of, or just superficial relationships. Right. I don't really have them.
Yeah.
You know,
I have some, but the relationships that I cherish, and you know, Frank, being completely honest, one of the reasons I wanted to do this show and do this show with Gary is the joy of the relationship. We had an everyday relationship when we worked together at ABC for 7 years or whatever it was. And since then, it has not been an everyday relationship. We see each other, we talk, we email and all that kind of thing. But it was such a rich and deeply rooted relationship because we went through so much. I always tell people, doing the kind of job that we had at GMA, you had some very high highs, you had some very low lows, and we were there through all of that, making each other laugh and you know, getting each other through it and all that kind of stuff. That forms a very deep bond.
Oh, that cemented our relationship. It really did, especially going through the problems.
Yeah.
And we bonded during the good times and the bad times. But I learned something. I learned a number of things by being on Good Morning America with Tony. I learned something. Well, here's one that I thought was interesting. You get to decide at home or in the car driving. So Tony and I would be somewhere. I'm going to try to explain this well because it needs a visual, but we'd be someplace walking together or whatever, and somebody would be coming our way, and Tony would give that person a little nod. He has no idea I'm talking about this, that I'm going to bring this up. And so my line was, oh, do you know him? And he would say no. And then it would happen again, and maybe it would happen again on another trip. And then something did dawn on me ultimately, which was I realized that all these people he's nodding to are black. And so I said to him, "What's with the black nod? Tell me about." I got to know. I said, "Do black people, you know, cuz I'm a Jew from Jersey, you know, and I don't do that, right?" So he does the black nod, and I said, "What is this?" He said, "You know, it's that kind of unspoken, you look at somebody, you go, how are you dealing with everything? Everything going all right for you? You getting, yes. you know, I'm doing my best. Yes. I'm doing my best. I'm coping." And so I said, "So what, all of you have that kind of like thing where you were like, it's all, you see a black person, you go, right. Yeah, hey, there you right. are. Yeah. Uh-huh. Every, you know, anybody giving you any problem?
Yep.
No, I'm good." So I try.
But it's nonverbal.
It's nonverbal.
And there's a lot, like Gary said, it's a nod, but there's a lot conveyed in that nod. You're checking in. It's almost like, how you doing on this planet? Yeah, me too. Okay, all right. Keep on.
Got any bad stuff going on? Yeah, but the good's starting to outweigh the bad. It's getting better. So I learned that from him, and then I realized, you know what? I'm going to try the nod, you know? So I start like nodding at white people. And I give them a little nod, and people like look at me like, "What's wrong with you?" You know, and a couple of people thought I was hitting on them.
Oh, no.
And then I found myself not, you know, doing the little white nod so much that people thought I had like Tourette's, because there are way more white people.
Yes.
So I was constantly nodding.
Yeah, you can't nod at everybody.
I'm nodding, and I realize, you know, you better stop. You're gonna break your neck. And you don't have that silent. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like. Black people mm-hmm. do, you know?
Yeah, well, I would say this, though, as a Latin man, I don't know if we have that. I don't think...
Check on each other?
I think we just either... Well, what my Latin, I guess, contingent does is they ask me for things. So that's how I know they're doing well or not doing well.
Depending on what they ask for.
I've got this new business. What do you think? Or 5K to get in on the ground floor. I'm like, oh, okay. That's how they ask.
I get it because, you know, I think that Jews would nod at each other if we knew automatically that we were Jewish, because it would be like, well, how you dealing with some of that anti-Semite stuff going on out there? You know, and you know, I'm okay. You want to stop for a bagel? Why? You know, but you don't know someone's Jewish, so you don't nod.
True. Now, what you didn't see very often is if I would meet eyes with another black person coming the other way on the street, mm-hmm. and I would nod, and that person would just do a quick like head shake, not a nod, but a shake. Then I'd kind of know, wow, it's rough for them right
uh-huh.
now. Things aren't good. Yeah, yeah.
I noticed that after a while you would do the nod to the black person, and then I would too. And you know, and they would nod back, and I think that they would think, you know what? He's passing.
He's with him. He must be okay.
That's right. They would either nod back or they would say, "Who you nodding at?"
That's right. Who do you think you're nodding at? I go, I'm with him.
Right.
He's on TV.
That's right.
It's okay.
But
everybody step back.
That is funny.
Oh, man.
There is, you speak about the different cultures, but there is a lot of that still today.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my good friends, he had a wonderful career in the NFL. And we just had this conversation 2 days ago where he is at a certain level in his life where his kids are growing up in a different type of neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to private school, and he wants to still instill kind of being African-American, being black, mm-hmm. and being proud.
Yes.
And he finds it that it's a struggle even at a younger age because their general socioeconomic
surroundings is
unfortunately still not at that level that where he grew up in kind of the outskirts of the Baltimore City. So he's trying to find a way to instill in them, not just in historical aspects of saying this is where you come from, this is the struggle that we had as a people,
but also just your everyday life.
Right. Absolutely. This is something that is, this is a very real concern when you're, you know, someone like me. Now, when I was a kid, I lived in Southwest Washington, it was a completely black environment, and, you know, all my friends were black and all that kind of thing. And then we moved into the suburbs and then a little further out. So the entire neighborhood changed, and the in school, the numbers changed and shifted and all that kind of stuff. And as someone who is now raising a 10-year-old in a suburban neighborhood, it is something that I think about and concern myself about. I want to make sure that he is colorblind, mm-hmm. but still attuned to. There are some differences. And his heritage, and being comfortable in his own skin. That right. is the thing that right. is most important to me, that he's comfortable in his own skin. He knows who he is, where he's from, but he can also relate to a lot of different people in a lot of different situations. And that's something you have to think about.
Absolutely. And that's why we moved to where we moved in New Jersey. South Orange Maplewood was known as a very diverse community. Mm-hmm. We wanted to bring up our children in an area where they were going to grow up colorblind. Mm-hmm. And they did. I mean, you know, they don't notice anything about right. their friends are green, yellow, black, blue. Right. And we felt like we won. Right. And something happened once. I don't know if I ever told you this. I'll try to make it quicker than Oscar just told his story.
No, sorry.
Yeah, wow. That was about an hour, I think. Although it was a good point. You made a good point, you know, but I have narcolepsy. So anyway, this drove home a major point. So the people who live, you know, you can't really say, that's a terrible thing to say, some of my best friends are black, because mm-hmm. then you sound like you're a racist.
Yes.
But many of my closest friends are black.
What a racist.
And sorry. And the neighborhood, thank you. No cue is dropped by Tony Perkins. And I threw a basketball. So like
a, what a racist.
There you go.
Why's it got to be a basketball?
Because you know what? Any ball that I throw you, you're going to drop anyway.
Oh!
I was going to tell a heartwarming story.
Okay.
We lost it.
Heartwarming
so
story.
It was, no, it's really, it warms the cockles of my heart. So
this is a clean show.
you mean it was a clean show. So my son Billy was probably about 7 years old, and the people next door, black, we were very close friends with them. They had two sons that my two sons were very close with, and the back doors were unlocked, and they just kept coming in and out of each other's houses. So Billy and Royce were off somewhere, mm-hmm. and they were walking home, and somebody yelled out the N-word.
Oh, man.
And Billy looked at Royce and said, "What did he call me?"
Mm.
And Royce had to explain to Billy that it wasn't Billy being called that.
Wow.
It was Royce being called that, and Billy didn't know what the word meant.
Wow. Mm.
And we found out who that person was, and he had to come over to my friend's house with me, with Billy, with my friend and his son, and the kid and his father, so that we could have a big discussion about what just happened, because there are some lines you don't cross.
Sure.
And that was really one of those teachable moments. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. But for me, it was incredible and funny that Billy turned to Royce and said, "What did he call me?"
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but the way you addressed it, I think that's the most important aspect of it.
I know that there are still many problems in the world. There are still a lot of things we have to get over. I am happy that when I observe many young people, they really do seem to be pretty colorblind. I see kids who are like out on a weekend, teenagers I'm talking about, and it'll be a group of them. Seems to be groups a lot, not mm-hmm. couples necessarily, but groups. And there's everything in that group. There are Asians.
You know, the UN.
Yeah, it is. And everyone's hanging out. And I mean, that's great.
It is great.
Because I didn't see that a lot when I was growing up.
Right.
It
I didn't either.
The black kids over here, the Asian kids over here, the white kids over there. So I'm happy to see that. I think that's great.
I do too. I think that's a really good change that's happened in the last 20 years.
Rob, maybe. You are the youngest person in the room. And so tell me, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Prince William County, just south of the D.C. area.
Okay, yep. So tell me what your experience has been down there.
It's a pretty diverse area. I'm in Manassas,
yeah.
High Hispanic population. whites, and then you go up to Fairfax, and then Asian. There's a fair amount of Asians mm-hmm, there as well. Mm-hmm. But it's always been pretty diverse.
Yeah,
definitely.
Do people get along? Because I remember years ago, Manassas would be an area that I wouldn't necessarily travel.
A lot of
into.
Used tires.
Yeah,
a lot of used tires.
A lot of
used cars.
Yes. Yeah.
My people love the used tires.
That is a very. You got to watch. They have a. Is that in your video? No, that was part of the live show, the Michael Mara live show. They did a little a film like a travelogue of Manassas. That was a running gag in it. Very funny.
There
very funny.
Is in this town Manassas, which is 40 minutes south of the district.
Yeah.
There are. No less, and I kid you not, because we visited all of them and took pictures in front of all these establishments, part of our tour of Manassas. There are no less than 13 used tire stores, and some of them are superstores, some are little kiosks, right on one street.
How does
Manassas.
A place become known for selling like one item like that? Really? Like, don't you wonder how that started?
Oh, yeah. I still wonder today. Yeah. I drive by, I'm like, I never see anybody in that used tire lot. Ever.
And if you were going to open up a business in that area, would you really want to open up a used tire store when there are 15 others?
Right. It's the strangest thing.
And I think it's saturation.
And it's not just like used tires. It's llantas usadas. It's like there's different iterations. Like, oh, we'll get them with a new sign, and then we'll do it in Spanish. The whole thing.
One of the things that I like about the kids these days, and everyone's into each other's culture and all that kind of stuff, and I observe this again with my son and his friends. Connor is 10. The music that they like, man, it is all over the place.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, and I mean, white kids, and this is, I'm not saying anything news-breaking because we've known this for quite some time now.
Well,
white kids try to. White kids like hip-hop. As much and rap as much as black kids do, and now I just read this thing about there's a this new black group, these kids, I forget what they're called. I think they have a video online. Three black kids doing heavy metal rock.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
they signed a multi-million-dollar contract, and they're in their early teens.
Yeah, I mean it's
with
wild.
Sony Music, and they're supposed to be the next big thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, an all black. Kid heavy metal band. It's crazy. But Connor has gone from, you know, being very influenced by me and my love of the Beatles and all that and Motown and all that kind of stuff. He is now an Eminem fan, Jay-Z, you know, whoever the hot rappers are now. That's who he's into.
Right.
He listens to the clean stuff. But I get to hear a lot of this music now. And him and his friends have been singing this song that has been a pretty big hit this summer. When I heard it, I was like, What is this? Is this a jingle from a commercial? It's crazy. I want to play some of it for you, Gary, because I'm sure you've never heard of it. Jason Derulo, is that his name?
Yes.
Am I saying it right? With Snoop Dogg, Wiggle. Listen to this.
You know what to do with that big fat butt. Wiggle, wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Just a little bit of... Patty cake with no hands. Got me in this club making wedding plans. If I take pictures while you do your dance, I can make you famous on Instagram. Hot damn it, your booty like two planets. Go ahead and go ham sandwich. Boy, I can't stand it. You know what to do with that big fat butt.
This is one of the hot songs now.
Unbelievable.
This song's huge, right?
Oh, absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Massive hit.
I think that my son's listening to it.
Yeah,
seriously.
Do you really?
Yes,
yeah.
Billy.
Yeah.
Billy, my youngest.
We can bring it down. It's amazing. So my son is walking around one day singing, I got the lyrics here, you know what to do with that big fat butt. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa. Whoa.
What?
We're here in Outback. We're in Outback.
We're in Outback. That's right.
Well,
because like so, you know, they're not really thinking about the lyrics.
They're not into the context of it. It's just it's a lyric.
Right.
You know, you think that all I listen to are you know, we've talked about this, my music is all dead people.
All dead people,
well,
right.
Well, do you know that I have Jason Derulo's greatest hits?
Do you? Name one other one.
And another thing.
What do you? How do you approach? Because I can't imagine what I would do if I had a 10-year-old. Because he doesn't know.
Yeah.
What did he say?
I kind of laughed at it, and I didn't make.
Did
a
you
big
look
deal
at your wife? You're like.
Well, here's the funny thing. Here's the funny thing.
You don't want to upset Rhonda.
Right. Well, here's the bad thing. Connor was singing it, and Rhonda was dancing in the background.
No. No.
I
think if Rhonda heard him singing, you know, Big Fat Butt, she would have said, she would have taken him aside and said, now listen, you can't say that in public.
The lyrics are crazy. Yeah, your booty like two planets. It's really great. But so then I got on my, you know, high horse and I'm like, you know, this music today, you know, me being Mr. Old Man now, yeah, this is really ridiculous and crazy. And then I was reminded that this is not the first song to be about a butt. In fact, a very popular song by a local group, EU, Experience Unlimited. You've probably heard this one, Gary.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the butt.
That is a great observation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's just a sexual. I remember that singing that song.
Yeah.
As a kid.
And you weren't thinking about the inappropriateness of
right.
the song.
Great beats,
that's right.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. That's why we didn't go crazy when we heard him singing this.
Yeah.
Because your initial thought is, But yeah, then we were singing this back in the day. This is in the 80s, from the 80s.
As an adult, though, doing the butt is a whole
different whole ball game. And that's a place we should mine right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely go there.
Things have changed.
I remember this song well, and I think lately when I've had some insomnia, I put this on and go right to sleep.
This song was a huge hit. This was a very, especially here in the Washington area, doing the butt. You can put this on now in a club, and the dance floor will be jammed. And people are, there's a butt dance that goes with it. I can't really do it or demonstrate it.
But. Ed Lover had a dance to this as well.
Yeah.
He used to be a big VJ on MTV. I remember this would come on and he would do his dance.
That's right.
A lot of fun.
And then I have one more song. Gary, you'd be shocked at how many songs there are about the butt.
No, I'm just shocked about why you want to know how many songs there are about the butt. I'm just wondering now.
It would be great to be a proctologist and have this music playing in the waiting room.
You actually would like to be a proctologist?
No.
No, but as a great bit, you'd have like all the best butt songs.
Right, yeah.
That would just, and, but loungy volume, you just would hear this.
Right. So it's not really loud.
No, just a subliminal message. I'm at the butt doctor.
You know what would be great though, because I bet if you did it, as if you were like the receptionist, you could see people as they realize what's playing, and they probably smile.
That would be a great YouTube video that would go viral. Yes. Someone's gonna do that.
Yes.
They have to give credit here, but when you do it, at least credit the Tony Perkins
show.
Well, I think that we should call a proctologist and see whether or not he would go for this.
Well, you are the producer.
You do.
figure that out.
That's right. You do bring up an interesting point, though, about proctologists, because you said you think that would be great to be a proctologist. Here's the thing I always wonder about that particular specialty. What makes you want, you know, because there are many specialties. There are many things you can be as a doctor. You can be a podiatrist, internal medicine, anything. Why would you want to be a proctologist?
I have asked myself this question many times, which tells us, I swear to you, I bother myself with so many things. And one of them is, does somebody grow up and like at 11, they announce that they're going to be a proctologist? And are the parents comfortable with that?
Yeah. Are they like, well, what about teeth? What about a dentist?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even want to do that.
Right.
I'm not going to put my hands in somebody's mouth. Are you kidding?
The lifestyle, you could see someone choosing surgery or anesthesiology over surgery because the life of a surgeon just really isn't a life, right?
Right.
But proctology, That's probably similar to pediatrics. It's like you have to really be into the colon.
Yes.
And say, okay, I can handle, and I want to handle this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my wife has always said that she doesn't understand why anybody would be a gynecologist. Because you know what? Most of your patients are not going to look like what Bo Derek looked
right.
like.
Right. If you're fantasizing about, I'll bet there are a lot of, now we're probably being really immature right now, but there are probably a lot of gynecologists who go into it and like a year into it, we're like, this is not
what I thought it was
going to be.
Yeah.
Speaking of lounge music, you're alluding to this song.
Yes.
Oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It's so big. She looks like one of those rap guys' girlfriends. Who understands those rap guys? They only talk to her because she looks like a total prostitute, okay? I mean, her butt is just so big.
Mr. Perkins, your copay looks like...
That's right. Yes, if you come up and fill out this form, yeah, maybe we can play this one. Yeah, there you go. Other brothers can't deny. Now when a girl walks in with an
itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Who's are you still with Aetna? It says here Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Mr. Stein?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Stein, please, you can come in now.
Okay. Would you please make your payment and bend over?
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Oh, yeah, man.
Baby's got that.
You know somebody's got a big butt if they have to reach over their shoulder to scratch it.
I'm going to tell you a true story. We can bring it up. Thank you, Oscar. As you mature as a man, you have different doctors. I have a urologist.
I can't wait.
I have a urologist. He's a great guy. Great guy.
How great, Tony?
He's a really good guy. He's he's a good urologist, and
What makes him good?
He's.
I've never been to a urologist.
Yeah, you tend to not really need to go until later in life.
Okay,
right.
Yeah, just to get checked out.
Great bedside manner.
I've never been to his house, but.
But he's been to yours.
Now, I will tell you this, and this is going to be strange. He is a very good-looking man. I swear.
What is going on here? Jeez.
I
just blew Diet Coke out of my nose. It just came out of my nostrils.
This is the truth.
He's a very good-looking man.
He really is. He looks like he would be on a soap opera. Anyway, I'm in there getting the exam.
Yeah.
And
I'm not comfortable with this.
No, it's funny. I think this is funny. So they have to do the prostate exam, and you know what that entails. He has to put the glove on.
Yeah.
Put a little lubricant.
Yeah.
And he orders lunch.
Yes, he orders lunch. He buys you lunch.
And a movie.
Right. But, you know, they have to check digitally using their fingers for the size of your prostate.
That's not digital. That's not
ones and zeros.
That's not digital.
No. You're not programming.
Digitally, he's sticking his finger up your rectum. What are you talking about? That's not a digital exam. A digital exam with that would be without touching. You mean? So what you mean is he took one of his digits?
And
he put the glove on. You know?
I'm crying. This is a true story.
Yeah. They fired up his app and then his exam.
It may be a true story, but who cares?
So he's about to do that, and I say, this is not really my favorite part. And he says, it's not exactly mine either. So then I thought, well, why the hell do you do this?
Yeah. He could have been a beautician.
A dermatologist, maybe?
Oh, my God.
You know, we say about those professions, thank God someone's doing
it. Hey, I'm glad there are proctologists and urologists.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I...
These are the doctors you don't want to need.
That's
but Tony, I said I learned a lot about you on GMA. I'm learning a lot more with the podcast.
I'm going to look this guy up and show you his picture.
Yeah, you're going to.
I swear
he's hot.
Yeah. I'm going to look him up and invite him to a movie because it's been a long time since I've seen him.
Oh my God.
A real dream boat.
You know, we take no prisoners, Tony.
All right. I think that's enough.
I've had plenty.
That is good stuff. All right, so that's it. We want to thank. Are we done? We have anything else?
No, you're very done.
I'm crying. I'm sweating. It's ridiculous here. We want to thank Dirk Benedict for being on the show today, a star of the Battlestar Galactica and the A-Team.
Yes,
and
close personal friend.
Well, Gary Steins, yeah, thank you for booking him on the show. That was great.
My pleasure.
Oscar, as always, thank you for sitting in.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I don't know how much longer you'll be on loan to us, but...
well, as long as I can get the show name right, I think I'll be okay.
Yes!
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, and Rob Ford Jr., hope you've had a good time today.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for your help. We thank everybody for listening.
And so do I. We'll Thanks a lot.
Yeah, we'll see you soon.
Tony Perkins Show, a Moore Broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.